Yes. All right. Welcome back again, everybody. This is number two. Oh, by the way, I'm Wayne and I'm an addict.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi there.
Wayne.
This is number 10 in the series of workshops on the 12 traditions in response to our Mid-America Region needs assessment. We have organized these sessions and hopefully to continue to do this once per month to cover each tradition over the course of 12 months. We have two more months left. We say that in hopes because this depends on how it's received from everybody else that's attending. So tell your friends, your home group, your sponsees, your sponsors, and join each month. We do this, try to do this consistently on the fourth Thursday of each month. Next month is going to be April 23rd. So mark your calendars for April 23rd for next month. All right. So let's open this meeting with a moment of silence for the sick and suffering addict, followed by a serenity prayer. God,
God.
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change,
I cannot change the
the courage
courage
to change the
to
things I
change the
can,
things I can
and the
and the
wisdom.
wisdom to know the difference.
All right. All right. Okay. If somebody would like to unmute themselves and read the 12 traditions, it'd be great.
Hello, my name is Bobby, and I'm an addict.
Bobby.
The 12 traditions of NA. We keep what we have only with vigilance. And just as freedom for the individual comes from the 12 steps, so freedom from the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Six, an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend any name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, NA as such ought never to be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never to be drawn into public controversy. Our public relations policy, or 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, every mind is to place principles before personalities. Over. Okay. Understanding these traditions comes slowly over a period of time. We pick up information as we talk to members and visit various groups. It usually isn't until we get involved with service that someone points out that personal recovery depends on NA unity, and that unity depends on how well we follow our traditions. The 12 traditions of NA are not negotiable. They are the guidelines that keep our fellowship alive and free. By following these guidelines in our dealings with others and society at large, we avoid many problems. That is not to say that our traditions eliminate all problems. We still have to face difficulties as they arise: communication problems, differences of opinion, internal controversies, and troubles with individuals and groups outside the fellowship. However, when we apply these principles, we avoid some of the pitfalls. Many of our problems are like those that our predecessors had to face. Their hard-won experience gave birth to the traditions, and our own experience has shown that these principles are just as valid today as they were when these traditions were formulated. Our traditions protect us from the internal and external forces that could destroy us. They are truly the ties that bind us together. It is only through understanding and application that they work.
Thank you, Bobby. And if we could have somebody unmute themselves and read the excerpt from It Works How and Why. It's on the screen on Tradition 10. Just
I can
anybody.
do that.
Okay.
I'm an addict. My name is Rod.
Rod?
Hang on. Sorry. Somebody interrupted about the tradition meeting. So,
Tradition 10, Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. But what about speaking in a recovering gathering? Does the 10th tradition tell us that as individual recovering addicts, we must not talk in NA meetings about challenges we face? No, it does not. While a particular problem may be an outside issue, its effect on our recovery is not. Everything affecting a recovering addict's life is material for sharing. It's a problem we are having impacts our ability to stay clean and grow spiritually. It's not an outside issue. Many things can put us off balance and challenge our recovery. We often discuss such challenges with one another at our meetings, seeking to ease our personal burdens by sharing them with our fellow addicts, our fellow NA members. We ask others to share how they applied the principles of the program in similar circumstances, recovering their balance and strengthening their recovery. We need no one's permission to talk about such things in our meetings. Tradition 10, it works how and why.
Thank you, Rod. Appreciate you reading. And we have one more reading. If somebody would like to unmute themselves and read the excerpt out of the guiding principles, it's on the screen. Let's see.
I got it, Wayne.
Okay.
I'm Daniel, I'm an addict.
Daniel.
The language of this tradition points to two ways we can find ourselves in the storm of public opinion, by taking a position ourselves or by being drawn into public controversy by someone else. There are issues closely related to our primary purpose that may feel urgent. It might seem like we should take a position on public policy or trends in addiction treatment, but in fact, these things have nothing to do with Narcotics Anonymous. The PR handbook offers guidance on how we practice Tradition 10 in a presentation or H&I meeting. The only way we can be drawn into public controversy is if we offer an opinion on outside issue, on an outside issue, this on an issue outside the scope of our own program. When we get tangled up in argument, we risk being drawn into positions that will compromise us in some other way. Rather than taking position on issues that are none of our business, we talk about NA and then stop. Our message speaks for itself. Our success is defense enough. Many of us are drawn to an interesting or heated debate, but Tradition 10 requires that we let it go by. We are responsible for keeping our focus. Engaging in debate with those whose approach differs from ours or with those who criticize our program would distract us from our primary purpose and risk alienating the newcomer. We don't need to invest energy or interest in the conversations that swirl around us. We know our message and our purpose. We do what we do. Focusing on our primary purpose frees us from the need to be distracted or diverted into debates with those whose interests and motives differ. No one outside NA is under any obligation to respect our traditions. Our commitments to unity, anonymity, and our primary purpose are ours alone. Drawn directly from the experiences of those who went before us, Tradition 10 serves as a guidepost and a warning. One early addiction recovery movement grew to thousands of members until some of the leaders began speaking for the organization on a number of political issues. As the group started taking public positions on issues other than recovery, membership fell away and they were soon forgotten. Throughout the history of NA, a number of fledgling NA communities have faced difficulties or collapse because of promotion, publicity, and controversy. Our commitment never to draw the NA name into public controversy is a matter of survival for the fellowship we love and for all of us addicts who needs Narcotics Anonymous. Guiding Principles, Tradition 10.
Thank you, Daniel, for reading. Thanks, everybody, for reading. This is a 90-minute session or thereabouts, and we have our speaker, which is going to be introduced here in a minute, share their experience, strength, and hope on Tradition 10 for about 20 or 30 minutes. After they are done sharing, we will open a meeting for others to share. You can share your experience, or if you have questions you want to pose to the group, You may also do that in the chat, or you can raise your hand and ask that in person. Remember, part of sharing is sharing the time. So please be mindful and keep sharing about 3 to 5 minutes. And that way we all get a chance to get involved. And then, Debbie, would you like to introduce our speaker?
Sure. My name's Debbie. I'm an addict.
Hey, Debbie.
Debbie.
Hi, everyone. It's good to see y'all. Berta is going to be speaking tonight, and I didn't know about it until earlier this week. Shame on you, but that's okay.
It's
It's all right. I'm glad that
Wayne's
you
fault.
did tell me. We were all talking about the World Service Conference before the meeting. That's where I met Berta. And it was outside of the airport on the sidewalk, waiting for one of our big buses to take us to the hotel. And when I saw this lady in a tie-dye dress, I decided, I think I'm going to hook up with her. I like her. She's in tie-dye. I think we're going to be friends. And that's what started the ball rolling. And it's been, a really, really, really good journey. She lives so many miles away, and I hate it. We both hate it, but still, we've learned how to change our stuff around to where we can talk to each other like 20 or 30 minutes in the mornings when we're going to work. And that works out really good because we cover a lot of ground in 20 minutes, I would say. But anyways, she's a beautiful person with a really good program. She shares from the heart, and I think she'll have some good knowledge to share with us. With that, I'll give you Berta.
Thanks, Debbie. I appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome.
So I'm an addict. My name is Berta. And I have to say, I have been in service like right from the jump. Like I started going into the women's prison when I was 18 years old. I had 9 months clean, and I started going into the prison, and I was going in for another program. And when it was right about 9 months, a year, right after I turned 19, that I really decided I needed to quit going to the other program. And my grand sponsor at the time said, you know, like you shouldn't be doing service work in two programs because it muddies the message and it's not fair to the newcomer. And that was the first time like I really ever thought about the traditions and being aware of what like my service work should have some rules about it and some limits. And I told my grand sponsor, like, I'll probably choose NA because I like that one so much better. And they said, go right ahead. Like you go where you feel comfortable. And so I did. I came into NA both feet. I quit going to the other program. I really started diving into service work. And so at 19 years old, I got to help form a meeting in the women's prison, an H&I meeting with incarcerated people, as well as the H&I chair of our area. We were building service structure back then. There were only two areas in Montana, even though we're the fourth largest state. There was Great Falls and then the rest of Montana. And we didn't have a service structure and we didn't really understand traditions. So, like, we started studying the traditions and what that meant. So, that's just kind of my background about starting to learn how to work traditions and what the meanings of it is. And then early, I do believe it was 93 or 94, the first time Vito came and spoke to us, and he went through the steps, and then he went through the traditions, and we were all like, oh my God, this is amazing. And like that also set us on fire for the traditions. So I have certain traditions that I really like and certain traditions that I, well, can't stand. And some of them are the same. I love it and hate the third tradition. And when I think about the 10th tradition, I was trying to reflect like what does that mean? What has my experience been with the 10th tradition? And like we were talking about being at the WSE, and that my first go around was 2006 to 2012. So that was back when Prop 8 was happening in California when they were first trying to legalize marijuana. And I remember Anthony coming to the body and saying, so ABC News called and asked for my opinion on Prop 8. And I had to say, NA has no opinion. And I was so impressed that he was able to like do that, because it would have been easy for him to grab the spotlight and go, hey, this is what we think, you know? And he really maintained the 10th tradition, and he showed me like you can do this. And since then, I've gotten to see what that means. Well, the truth is, they moved the women's prison in Montana from, close to me, 90 miles away. That's close in Montana. From close to me to Billings, from Warm Springs to Billings. And when they were going to move it out of this district, literally a state legislator called and asked if I would testify at the legislature about being a volunteer at the women's prison. And the assistant warden also called, and they were like, please, you're in Helena and it's easy, and Helena's the state capital. And I said, I would as a volunteer. And so when I testified, I made sure to make like, as a volunteer, I never said that I was an NA member. I none of that. And I said that the group that I go into the prison for at that time, and it was the early 90s, mid 90s when it moved. I said, you're moving it to Billings, and they don't have the services from our group to go in regularly, which they didn't at that time. They do today. And my testimony didn't matter, but I did not identify myself. I said, I am just a volunteer, and as a volunteer only, my opinion is I would love for it to stay because we have a good service structure here that we can provide the services that we do and the volunteers that we do to the women's prison. And they were like, thank you very much. And then they off they go. And a member of the press came up and to me and asked me, and I was like, no, I'm not gonna do an interview, because I know that local NA or local NA local news groups occasionally get shit wrong, right? And I did not want to take that chance at all. Much later in my life, I went and I testified for daycare provider stuff because I was a daycare provider for 18 years. And then I gave my name, the name of my daycare and my opinion, because I was not representing anybody but my daycare. And I really learned like it's very important for us not to have opinions. And I found how isolating and how we can keep people out of meetings if we were to endorse outside issues one way or the other. I saw it happen in the 2010s, 20 like in 2016, 20 right in there, and there was somebody yelling a person's name for president in the meetings just randomly. Or somebody introducing, "I'm Tom and I'm a Republican." And people were turned off by it. People in meetings were turned off by it. And we were worried that they would speak to the press and say, "Yeah, I'm a member of Narcotics Anonymous and I endorse this person and I endorse that person." And some of us talked to people like that and asked them to like not be political in meetings. It can be isolating. And those people chose just not to come back to meetings. And some of them got arrested for their political activities. Sad for them, but that did happen. But we as a whole cannot have opinions on those outside issues. Our groups, our areas, our service bodies, NA as a whole, can't have an opinion. We have opinion only. And I love that part in the guiding principles, like the only way that we can be drawn into controversy is by offering an opinion. So the one of the big spiritual principles, and you can read about it in It Works How and Why, but I really believe it's responsibility. And I believe that that spiritual principle really applies to the 10th tradition. It is our responsibility not to be drawn into. It's not that we don't have opinions, and it's not that we can't talk at recovery meetings about those things that we need to talk about. We just can't talk in public on press, radio, and films. Also, I have heard people talk about they may try to do a revision of this tradition to include social media because it's so easy to get wrapped up in whatever it is and go, "And while you're wearing an NA shirt, you know?" And you go, "What? That it looks like you're speaking for NA." It's very easy for that to happen. And we have to be responsible and mindful and careful about where and how we express our opinion. And we are allowed to have our opinions. And just last night, one of my sponsees, her husband was deployed in Afghanistan 3 times, and she left the army to take care of the kids, and her job full time is to take care of him. He is a vet who has severe PTSD. Severe. He only leaves his house on Wednesdays. If he can't get it scheduled on Wednesday, he just won't do it, whatever that is. And whatever is happening, whatever they want to call it, this military problem that we're a part of is keeping him up at night. And he's having really bad nights. And as his caregiver, it's affecting my sponsee. And she came to the meeting and she didn't mean to, but she was just crying. And she's like, "I'm not trying to talk about outside issues, but it's affecting my life. It's affecting my husband. And now I'm on high alert. And now I'm not sleeping. And I feel exhausted all the time. And I'm worried because his health is very fragile. He's only one of two left from his squad. 15 were in the squad. 5 were blown up when their truck got hit by an IED. And of the 10 that made it back, 8 of them have taken their own lives. And she is worried her husband will do that too. And absolutely, she gets to talk about what is happening in Iran and how it is affecting her and her household and her feelings. That is not expressing an opinion on it. It's expressing this is a hard thing. And she has every right to do it. And she is also my RD. And this weekend, we did, as many of you know, it's car season. We did our last car, hopefully. And we were talking about DRT and MAT, which is drug replacement therapy and medication assisted treatment. And it has been an issue discussion topic for this conference cycle from 2023 to 2026. And we've gotten a workshop. If you're RD or alternate hasn't given you this information, you should have, they should have, they should have. And that this should have been a discussion for you guys as well. And we had one guy come and he goes, I don't know why we're even talking about this. This is an outside issue. We shouldn't have an opinion. And literally in what we were talking about, it's talked about that. It said, at this point, it appears that what we need most is to create an atmosphere of recovery around the issue. There is a great deal of common ground, and on that ground, we can build a new foundation for this conversation, beginning from our spiritual principles. In this polarized world, on this highly charged issue, can we agree for now to listen to one another with love, compassion, and a willingness to respect our opposing viewpoints? And that's not exactly what I was going to say. It also says, which I didn't find or lost, it says, we understand that if we take an opinion on one side of this very controversial issue or the other, addicts will die. And we need to find a common ground. And so he was like, this is an outside issue and we shouldn't even be talking about it. And I'm like, you're wrong. This isn't inside issue. This is an issue we need to be able to talk about amongst ourselves. We don't go out into the world. We don't go tell professionals, oh, this is NA's opinion on DRT, MAT. But if we don't talk about some of these issues, we can't create that atmosphere of recovery that is so desperately needed in our meetings for addicts to recover. And this is one of those things. Whatever your opinion is, we should talk about it and try to find some common ground so we can invite addicts to come in and to stay, whatever that looks like. And one of the addicts, she spoke up and said, you know, I started in the other program because they weren't so judgmental. And then I moved and I tried some NA meetings and they were open and nobody questioned me. And I started telling my sponsor that I'm on Suboxone. And she goes, but I took a little while to figure out like there is a life and I could get off it. And I chose to change my clean date, but nobody made me. And like she had a valid point and she got to talk a little bit about that. About her story, like she wouldn't have been here if that group hadn't talked about it, if that group hadn't been warm and welcoming. And it is an inside issue when it affects an addict's recovery. We don't have a big issue. Like there is nothing out there that we should be talking about, except for NA. And there is one line in the It Works, How and Why, and it says, gosh darn it. It bothered me a little bit. We don't, Narcotics Anonymous does not claim to have the answer to every trouble in the world. We do not even claim that we necessarily have the only answer to addiction. And that is our public stance. And when I was at World, I remember, well, I got a little video. It's a 1 hour video, and you can it shows a bunch of addicts in a meeting, and they're doing like a documentary. And Jimmy Kinnon is telling them, "What I want you guys to do is tell the world that this is not just a program of recovery for addicts, but the program of recovery for addicts." And I still believe that this is the program. And my job, the thing that I do professionally, says there's many, many pathways to recovery. And I can hold two truths at the same time. I can have my own personal belief and help somebody do something that might actually kill me. If I were to have to go to another 12-step program, or if I were to have to be on DRT, MAT, that might actually kill me. And I can help another addict with that. I have to do what's true for me. And I love the fact that we have no opinion on any of those outside issues that are out there. And there are many. Treatment is changing as we fight one Like, it was the war on drugs back in the 80s. And, now we're like, we have an opioid epidemic. And before that, it was meth. We have a meth epidemic. There's all these things that are changing in the world. And our message is clear. And when we keep to this program works and we become shining examples of this program, attraction rather than promotion will have addicts keep coming in. And we don't have to promote our opinion or even the program. We just have to live it and be living examples of it. And pretty much that's my 20, and I am grateful. And that's all I have to share at this time. I hope that was useful or good or,
Yeah. Omar, I'm an addict.
Wayne.
That was awesome, Berta. I appreciate you. At this time, I'm going to, thanks, Berta. Let's open this up now for others to share. If you'd like to share, please use your raise your hand button at the bottom of the screen or nod your head because there's not many of us in here. So, who would like to share on the 10th tradition and lead off after Berta? Okay, here I'm going to go first, and I'll probably be picking people because there's only a few of us here. I'm Wayne, I'm an addict. I've come a long ways on the 10th tradition. Believe me, when I first come around here at the traditions in a whole, and when I first came around here, I didn't quite understand all that, and especially the 10th tradition. I mean, I was young, didn't have much clean time, hadn't worked through the steps or the traditions, and I was proud of Narcotics Anonymous, and I was not shy about letting people know that, and I had a pretty closed mind at that time to where I was being addressed on it, but I wasn't hearing it. And I had an argument, kind of like what you shared about in there, and I had an argument towards everything about that, and as time went on, I put a couple of them people that addressed me, and I was probably pretty sharp at them because I was pretty bad then, and I called myself in recovery, and I was pretty bad. But and I had them on my eighth step and ninth step. I made amends to them later on. It's been several years, today. Well, then I got into I owned a treatment center in Wichita, and I had a counselor that was young and was pretty prideful and used Narcotics Anonymous in their group. I mean, I did too. I used the 12 steps. You have to go to some 12-step meetings, and some of the counselors were enforcing to go to Narcotics Anonymous. And how it'll save your life and promoting it that it would save your life. And I had a par and this was an adolescent group, and I had a parent call me, that said the counselor said if they go to Narcotics Anonymous that they're never going to use again. Well, they said my son keeps using. What's wrong with Narcotics Anonymous? And I had to go to the counselor and put some pretty serious boundaries on that, and several times throughout that I had to be careful myself. I mean, I'm big in Narcotics Anonymous and owning it, and there was a 12-step program in the building next door, so I had a hard time not saying. Because they had to go to two 12-step meetings weekly. Well, there's one right there next door. It's Narcotics Anonymous. And I had a hard time not saying that, because I knew that. And several times the news came and they interviewed me about some things. and they knew me from Narcotics Anonymous, and they kept trying to put that in the interview, and I had to explain to them that this is a treatment center. This is not Narcotics Anonymous or 12-step program at all. Because sometimes with a news person, they're stating that Narcotics Anonymous is going to save your life, and it will if you work. I mean, there's a lot of work to get involved about saving your life and working a program and finding recovery. And I learned that the hard way. You know, I came in here and I struggled through a lot of that. Hey, early in this, I was at a I think I might have even been the chair of the regional camp out. This has been, oh, I don't know, probably 30 years ago, and I don't have 30 years clean. I fell away, but I've came back, and during that, somebody was posting other fellowships flyers all over, and I mean, I was on pulling them off the wall and addressing them. I mean, that's really not my responsibility when that happens. And I got addressed on that also. You know, it caused a big controversy, you know, and I see it today in our meeting halls, even our meeting hall, you know, a lot of times using that 10th tradition as some sort of a weapon. I understand they could share, I mean, anything basically, if it affects my recovery, I can share. And but a lot of times I'll have a solution in what happened in this. But I see some using that 10th tradition as a way to preach the word and read out the Bible or something and say, hey, you know, that affects my recovery, and that's part of my recovery. And so there's a fine line in that, you know, and a lot of people in there don't come back sometimes when they see that a lot of times, especially if they don't believe the same belief. So anyway, I am grateful that there is a 10th tradition, you know, and I have to be careful not to create controversy in even in a group conscience. You know, sometimes I have to be open-minded and not create controversy in the group conscience where nobody else wants to come back again. So anyway, thank you for allowing me to share. I think I've used up my 5 minutes. Who wants to go next? Let's see. I'm seeing no hands. Joe, you want to share on the 10th tradition?
I'm an addict named Joe.
Joe.
What you just said kind of reminded me of we were doing planning for a function one time, and somebody suggested that we have a clothing drive for homeless people or people that were in need or whatever and stuff, and associate it with the function. And I go, I don't think we should probably be doing anything like that, although it is a great noble thing to do. It's probably not the best thing for us to advertise, especially and put it on a flyer that, you know, hey, we're raising, trying to get stuff for that. And another thing that came up, Berta, thank you for your share anyway, Berta, is in meetings where I hear people they'll talk about, you know, that they graduated from some particular treatment facility or whatever, and other people in there are going, whoo. Oh, and I'm going, I just cringe and go like, oh man, I don't think you should be doing that. But I don't go and approach anybody and call them out on it. It's like, do by example and just don't make any kind of scene about it or whatever. But if somebody ever brings it up to me, then I can express my opinion about why that I don't think it's, you know, to me, it's kind of not in accordance with at least two of the traditions. When people do stuff like that, you know, where they say, oh, I'm at some sober living house or whatever, and they name it, and people are going like, oh yeah, woo-woo. And I'm going like, no, I don't, I don't think that's a kind of a proper thing to be doing here. You know, you're promoting that particular place, and it's an outside deal there. It's great that you're in a place that's safe for you and all that sort of, that's great. You know, and it's not the person that's sharing about it, it's the people that are making a big reaction. That's the one that bothers me. Or when people talk about, you know, Jesus saved me or whatever, and other people are there going, yeah, you know, or what, and well, like, oh no, you know, hey, if that's your higher power or whatever, that's fine, you know, share whatever you do, you, that's fine, but you know, me on the outside going and making a big deal about, yay, you know, that's the proper way to go. No, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, that's, you know, to me, that is an outside issue for me to be praising that or whatever. Just sit there and go through it. It's fine. You know, hey, that you do you, I'll do me. And, you know, because I don't want to do things to run people out of a meeting. You know, that's for sure. And I don't want to discourage anybody from talking about whatever is working for them and how they're working their way of finding a new way of life. I don't want to affect that. You know, if it's working for them, hey, great. You know, you do you. Yeah, that's about all I got. Thanks.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate you sharing. All right, we got a hand. Look at that. Hey, Tonya, go right ahead and share.
Hi there. My name's Tonya. I'm an addict.
Hi, Tonya.
My head's full of outside issues right now. I apologize for having my camera off. I was in my car coming back. I just came from Retta's son and daughter-in-law and grandson, and yeah, my head is just full of outside issues because there are so many outside issues that impact our fellowship, our recovery, our you know, our lives. And you know, for me, I loved what Berta said about responsibility. And for me, it's about responsibility and it's about safety. I want, you know, this fellowship that has saved my life, that continues to save my life, to be so welcoming and so available and so inclusive for anyone. You know, there are people that I sit next to, you know, all the time, multiple times a week, that if I wasn't sitting next to them in an NA meeting, I would have nothing in common with them. I would have nothing to say to them. They would have nothing to say to me. You know, but when we come into that room, you know, we are all, you know, we are all one. I mean, we are in unity. And that's, for me, the importance of this tradition is safety. You know, people, I mean, whatever epidemic we're in the middle of, you know, people are dying. People are dying because of mental illness. People are dying because of, you know, all of these outside issues, you know, and they're all valid. And it's important for us to be able to share for, and especially for a newcomer, to be able to share those outside issues and how that impacts their recovery in a meeting without me telling them, oh, you can't talk about that, you know. Because, you know, maybe, and I don't want to contradict Joe, you know, because I totally get it. I've been exactly there, but you know, maybe that sober living house is what's keeping their life together right now. You know, when they leave this meeting, they're going there, and they don't know better yet to keep the focus. I mean, this program is not something that we come into knowing all of these things. I mean, how long does it take us to get through the steps and get through the traditions, you know, and then for to understand those traditions. So it's like I want what I was given, you know, and I want to be able to share that level of safety and welcome with everyone. And you know, that's my responsibility. I feel like that's my responsibility. So I maintain, I try to maintain. I try to wait till I get to the parking lot to talk about those controversial things, or at least until most everyone else is let, the chairs are put away and the coffee pot's cleaned and everybody's, that's what it is for me. It's about responsibility and it's about safety and it's about inclusion. So anyway, that's what I thank you so much, Berta. I just love seeing your face. I don't know you very well, but I've seen you at convention and you are just a, you're like a garden of flowers right there in the room, So I love that. And I'm really glad that you're here. So thanks. That's what I got.
Thank you, Tonya. Appreciate you sharing. All right. I think, never mind. I'm Wayne Manatic. I think when people come in and share about the sober living, blah, 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 it's a part of their recovery. I think he was saying if other people are raw, and then after that, then it becomes the outside issue in that. Anyway, I was kind of a little bit of crosstalk, I think. Anybody else? Rod, you got anything going on over there on the 10th tradition? Well, you're still muted. No. All right. Tim, you got anything?
Yeah, my name is Tim, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Tim.
Thanks, Berta, for sharing. It's always good to see you. I like what you said about being a living example of NA. And a lot some groups have an overload, not an overload. It'd be nice to have an overload, but have a lot of either Oxford people or treatment people or whatever. And that's all they know, like I said. But I just have to make sure when sharing does get side-railed, that I need to, when it comes my turn, to try to bring it back to the topic, bring it back to my struggles, and more importantly, solutions to my struggles. Because that's kind of what needs to be shared in meetings, from my thoughts anyway. I've Coming from a small rural town, when I got clean, there wasn't a lot of NA meetings. We had one or two in McPherson where I got clean. Hutchison only had one a week at that time. Salina had a few, I mean, it was just you had to travel back then to get to meetings. But as a newcomer, I went to a meeting every day, and so I just took what I could get. Like Berta said, though, too, when I picked a program, I was like all in. I don't know. For me, there's social media has put a real strain on outside topics too, and with social media in itself can be an outside topic. But that seems to be. I mean, over the years, there's been so much crossover and so much change. And how people react or what they focus on and where they learn from. And I just kind of try to have to keep up while staying clean myself. But I don't know, for me, I just try to be a living example, be the best NA I can, especially in meetings. I've seen newcomers walk out when a group of us old timers were sitting around shooting the shit and talking about whatever we shouldn't have been talking about, and somebody that we hadn't really even had a chance to get to know, just get them walk out. In fact, that particular meeting I'm referring to, that was our topic for that meeting, was that newcomer that walked out and what we did wrong. So, that's all I can do is learn from events, happenings, and try to keep my focus and be a living example. That's all I got. It's good to see everybody.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate you sharing. Let's see. You figure that out, Rod? No. Okay. Bobby, you got anything on 10? No. Debbie, you got anything?
My name's Debbie. I'm an addict.
Hey, Debbie.
I really it hi Joe. Really enjoyed what you had to share, Berta. Thank you so much. Really appreciated that. And now why is the dog barking? That's an outside issue. That was. Sorry about that. But you know, as I'm listening to you guys, I'm really seeing where, you know, some of my thinking has been closed-minded and not really open enough in some situations, not in all, but in some. And it's making me rethink some things, which is good. You know, there's nothing wrong with learning more. And that's basically what this is all about, having these going through the traditions like this and whatever else. Are you going to continue doing this after the 12 are done? Do you start all over? I don't know. I'm talking to Wayne, but he's not listening. Okay.
Listening.
That's okay. And it's just trying to it's helping me. Just for this little bit that I've been on here tonight, to, like I said, rethink some of my thinking. And I know that we've sometimes put, you know, we'll get some people in the meetings that ramble and ramble and ramble and go on and on and on about something. You know, that just seems so trivial to a lot of us. But to that person, you know, we've got to come around and think, you know, maybe it does affect their recovery. Maybe that is something that we need to be showing that loving and caring side and pull that person aside and have a sit down talk with them, you know, just be more open with them. That might be a good thing to do. I don't know. I do remember the meeting that Tim's talking about when that happened, and when it dawned on us, and I mean, the one friend of ours that was there, he had a lot more years clean than I did or Tim, and it's like we all looked at each other and thought we really screwed up, you know. And it has stuck in my mind, and I try not to be that person at a meeting, before a meeting or after a meeting, you know, because you just never know. You just don't know what it's going to do to that newcomer, that person that walks in for the first time. I don't know. I'm really processing a lot of what everybody has said, and I really appreciate it. There is a lot, you know, right now it seems like that there's just a lot going on, and I don't know. Tanya, thank you for being here. I appreciate that. Anyways, I'm done right now. Thanks.
Thank you, Debbie. All right, let's see.
All right, I got it figured out.
There you go. All right, Rod.
I got stuck in settings somewhere. But anyway, electronics is hard for an old man. I'm an addict. My name's Rod.
Wow.
So last night, Monday, 6:30 meeting. I got to have a conversation. I got some young addicts in our group have questions and thoughts and so they ask questions and this girl chaired a meeting on some poem that she had read. And there were like two versions of it, and it really spoke to her. And she proceeded to read those. When the meeting was done, I didn't, I don't jump up in the middle of the meeting and say, ah, you need to shut up. I do that sometimes, but it's with people that I know is going to take it the right way, I guess I should say. Anyway, I'm pretty opinionated. Regardless, I was able to talk to them after the meeting that we don't read outside literature, but I did want to hear how that poem affected her and how it made her feel. And I said in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, in meetings, that's where you can bring those outside issues that we need to talk about, the PTSD, the whatever the case may be, even politically. Regardless, you can bring that in on by talking about how it makes you feel, how that poem struck her. And she can talk about her feelings, and which is what, I need to talk about and need to listen about is how people feel in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Because you know that the two good things about Narcotics Anonymous is that you get your feelings back, and the other one's a bad one, and that you get your feelings back. The reality is that's what helps stay me keeps me clean. And so I want to hear about that stuff. And it's just like with the taking a substance to replace or to cut the edge off of my DOC. I want to hear how we're going to go about getting off of that. I want to hear how we're going to, how does it feel to have to go to Topeka every week and get that shot or get that, whatever the case may be. But I sure as hell don't want to put them in a hospital's an institution meeting or a public relations meeting. Or being of service as they nod out, and it's a sticky wicket for me in the controversy that is happening. So regardless, we are doing a mini tradition meeting on Tuesday evenings, going through the guiding principle paragraph by paragraph, and it sure has helped in my understanding of how the traditions work and the spiritual principles, again, how they affect my life. So anyway, I'm glad to be sitting in a meeting in Narcotics Anonymous, and one of these days I'll figure out this electronic stuff. Thanks for allowing me to be generous, because generosity is a seventh tradition principle.
Thank you, Rod. And you're doing good. You got it muted and unmuted, so that's all you need here. Joe, did you come up with something new?
Yeah, I was kind of wanting a little bit about an opinion here, I guess. Years ago at my home group, we used to close with the Lord's Prayer. And I noticed that we had three people that came regularly. And as we got ready to close the meeting, they would just leave. And one night, after they'd done it several times, one night when we finished and cleaned up everything, they were still in the parking lot and they were talking to each other. And I went up and approached them and asked them, what it was, why they left just before we, were getting ready to close the meeting. And they said, "Well, you close with a Christian prayer." I go, "Okay." And two of them were Jewish, and there was one that was some form of Arabic religion. And they said it's against our religion to be and participate in a Christian prayer. So I took it at face value, and at our group's next business meeting, I brought up the subject. It's a business meeting. Said, "Has anybody else noticed that these people leave when we're getting ready to close a meeting? And what should is there anything we can do to allow them to stay?" And we discussed it for a while, and we decided that, okay, we're going to change the way we close the meeting because we don't want to run people out. And I don't know if that is kind of in the realm of this tent tradition or not. It kind of seems like it probably is, and that we, as a group, kind of handled it in probably a responsible manner, is kind of the way I looked at it, because they kept coming back, and then they were. Once we told them before the meeting, the next time they showed up, we told them before the meeting started, "We've changed the way that we close the meeting. Why don't you stick around and see if this is okay? And if it's not, go ahead and take off. That's fine." And so when we changed and cut, we started closing with the third step prayer, which is non-denominational as you can get. So I guess, I guess that's kind of maybe seeking some validation as the way that the group handled it or something. Anyway, that's all I got.
Thanks, Joe. I don't know if anybody closes with that nowadays,
United Survivor still does.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that surprised me last time when we ran a United Survivors meeting. It like just threw me back because, yeah, when we got, Deb and I got clean in the 80s, everybody was closing with that. And of course, everybody also smoked in meetings, and that sometimes was the topic of the meeting, was smoking. So, that's another outside issue that got heavily debated in a meeting setting, and not just the group conscience, but during the meeting. But, yeah, I know when I got clean, the closing of the prayer, it was a hot topic, and even being written about for the regional newsletter and everything. And when I got asked about it, I said, "Well, it don't matter to me because I got to learn either one of them. I don't know any of them, so whatever I got to learn, I'll learn." But as it turned out, that was a changing time to go to the third step prayer for most people.
Thanks,
That's all I
Jim.
got.
Thanks, Jim. Well, Daniel, you got anything? You're the last one here.
I'm Daniel. I'm an addict.
Daniel?
I was. It's good for me to do these tradition things because I'm like setting up the PowerPoint and finding little quotes from the literature to put on there, and so I'm reading more on the traditions each time we have these meetings, and not that it's anything, of new information, but it helps keep it this right on the top of my brain, And in Guiding Principles, it talks about it further on from where we were. It talks about like that the line between where we are as a person and our NA membership is really narrow. It's and I think that is only heightened by the onset of how much social media we have in our lives, and I try, and I've shared this with sponsees. I My sponsees use it against me sometimes. They have no opinions. But I try and make sure that like I don't share my, and I know some of you do, and it's okay that you do. I don't share my political opinions much anywhere. I save that stuff for close company, and it's not because I'm ashamed of it. It's because I don't want to build a wall between me and anybody, whether they're new or not, whether they're on the other side of it or not. I want to preserve as much unity as I can in my environment and the world around me, because it's so important. I miss it so much. Before we had Facebook, I didn't know shit about anything you thought. And now I know way too much about the things that other people think. And I don't like that. So I choose not to participate in those sorts of things. I choose not to share. I choose not to, do that at the meeting hall or before the meeting or after the meeting, or at dinner with other addicts, or sometimes even at dinner with just normal people. Allowing that polarizing differences to come into my life has never been good for me, and I watched it in early recovery. We had a meeting that, you'd show up for an hour and a half before it started, and you'd be there till midnight, and just hang out at the meeting hall, and there'd be all sorts of discussions about, everything in the world. And this was pre-internet, and mostly it was local politics, but it was still politics, or it was science, or it was religion, or it was something, and I remember my sponsor saying, "There's one thing we don't talk about. There's three things we don't talk about in meetings. That's science, religion, and politics." It's just so divisive. But then we get into this argument of what's political and what's not. And then it works out. Weiss talks about how anything that affects my recovery is material for sharing. When I am working with a sponsee on a fourth step, and they inevitably, every sponsee that I've ever had in the middle of writing their fourth step for the first time will call me and ask me, "Do I need to include this?" And my answer is always, if it's relevant, yes. If you're thinking about it while you're writing your fourth step, it's probably relevant, And so, if you need to share it in a meeting, you need to share it in a meeting, whether or not you think it applies to anything. If it affects your recovery, and sometimes that doesn't mean I'm gonna go get high if I don't share this in a meeting. Sometimes it just means that my spirituality, my serenity, my whatever it is affecting me and my serenity, and I need to be rid of it, or I need to find a solution in it. And man, not every time do we have the solution. I often go to my sponsor before I go to a meeting and share about a problem that I'm having, and find a solution and try and apply that. But there were times in my early recovery where I was just the guy that vomited all the shit, and waited for the other three people to tell me their opinions, and their experience, strength, and hope, so I could get some sort of solution in my life of, how to deal with the boss that I just told to fuck off and walked out on, or whatever it was, And so, that was a lot, but I think, for me, it's often like, how do I apply this tradition most in my life personally? And once I figure that part out, for me, like, it makes it really easy to apply it. And this one's, it really affects us when we're dealing with the public as part of NA, or we're dealing with H and I stuff, So, but I think we do have to remember that there are things that are going to affect our members, that we share way too much opinion about. And we have to figure out how to walk that line moving forward, because the we're not growing, that's for sure. Our meetings are the same size. We're not adding new meetings, we're not adding new groups. It's definitely something that we need to look at and consider. So that's all I got.
Awesome. Thank you, Daniel. All right. Well, does anybody else feel like they have anything else they need to share on the 10th tradition? Got something? Go ahead, Berta.
I do, actually. I'm an addict. My name is Berta, and I was reminded of one thing that I wanted to talk about. In an H&I setting, because I am an H&I girl, more than once when we presented to a treatment center, they have asked our opinion. Like they go, "Oh, so does it matter what program I go to?" And like, aren't they all the same? And I really enjoy saying, "You know what? I can't comment on the other program. We have no opinion on that. And that is an outside issue for us. You go where you feel comfortable. This is none of our business, right?" And that was something that the 10th tradition really guided my answer towards. And also, I wanted to say, like, I don't know if it's crosstalk or not. We don't consider it crosstalk when somebody else talks and I go, "What you said affected me." So I don't think of it as crosstalk, but when Joe spoke about how when other people in the meeting get all excited about a treatment center or a sober living place, it appears that the group is endorsing that treatment center or sober living place, and I understand the cringe. Like, I don't want the group to appear to have an opinion on a certain sober living place or recovery house or treatment center, because and that was one of the problems in our meetings when the guy was yelling, like saying his politics in the meeting, and people were like, yeah, it looked like NA, that NA meeting was endorsing his politics. And we have to be careful. That's what the 10th tradition is about. And it's not, I mean, we talk about NA as a whole, and but it's also like the service bodies, and it's also like the home group. And definitely, like when my home group, there was enough of us who were like, not okay, because it appeared when you do a Christian prayer at the end that it endorses Christianity. And that's what it felt like to many of us. And so we changed it way back then, you know, back in the 80s. I don't think we made it into 90 with it, because it was just so like, no, there's too many of us who are like, that's not how we choose to do it. Right. And so it was, I'm really grateful when a group can go, "We don't want to even appear to endorse only one way. We want everybody to feel welcome." And like that seems much more in the spirit of the 10th tradition and much more responsible, right? And again, I think it is our own responsibility. And when we see that kind of stuff, we need to figure out a way, a kind and loving way. And I mean, I used to be, I am so opinionated, and Deb knows this. I'm very opinionated about a lot of things, but recovery, if I'm doing it right, you know, if I'm working the steps, I'm looking at myself, I learn to not always think that everybody needs to hear my opinion. And part of that has been by working traditions as well as steps, and learning like what I say and how I say it and where I say it has an effect. And I need to sometimes reel that in, or I need to find a nicer way to say it. Oh my God. I was kind of embarrassed. I'd had 10, 15 years, and every time somebody said sober in an NA meeting, everybody in the group would look right at me like, "Ooh, is she gonna say something?" Because I would every freaking time, like probably for the first 10 years of my recovery, be like, "Clean, not sober." I shouted people down. I probably ran out dozens of addicts because I thought my opinion was correct and people needed to hear it, you know. And If I can change, I know a group can change, and I know an area can change, and we can grow and change and do better, right? That's what the process of the steps are for me. And just like it says about the traditions, the group can change and grow too while using the traditions. So that's the only thing more I had. I still had an opinion, and you needed to hear it. Thanks for listening and for letting me
Had
share.
to get the last word in, didn't
Yep.
you? Do you have something, Tonya? Oh, you're clapping. Okay, awesome. Awesome. Okay. Well, we've heard from everybody. Awesome. So we're going to go ahead and go through a few announcements here in closing. Our next RSC meeting is May 16th and 17th. There we go. And subcommittees meet Saturday. Business is on Sunday. As you can see, hang on a minute. As you can see on the screen, there are other opportunities to get involved of service to the region. We could sure use some help to carry the message through our region. So if you're not, show up and be a part of. We also have a convention, and it is coming up. It's right around the corner. It's Martin number 41. It's just actually, it's next month. The dates of the convention is April 24 through 26. It's going to be in Topeka at Hotel Topeka. There are many opportunities to be of service to the convention. Just tell somebody you want to help, and they'll find something for you to do during the convention at that, because we are getting pretty close. They'll probably meet one more time. But and then also we have a camp out coming up. Now's a great time to get involved to help, because we need some help. We have open positions. The date of the camp out is July 3 through 5. It's at Canning Creek at Council Groves Lake. We're going to meet at the convention. We'll meet there for a intern meeting, so it'll be announced. And then also join us again next month, Tradition 11. Remember, this will be on April 23rd at 7 p.m. Central Time. If you have feedback for the format of the meeting, or you have any suggestions for a speaker, get with Daniel and we will reach out. And there's a flyer for next week's speaker to be announced. So thank you again for everybody for attending. We hope to see everybody back and more next month. All right, so with that, we're going to close. Joe, can you wait till after the meeting to speak, or?
Well, I'm just going to let you know, Markner Convention Committee will meet on April 19th at 1:30, and you can
Okay.
find the Zoom information on the Plain State Zonal Forum calendar.
Okay. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. There we go. All right. If you'd like to unmute yourself, close for the third step prayer. Whose gratitude?
My gratitude
My
speaks
gratitude
when I
care.
When
I care and
when I
worry,
share.
sir. In any way.
Change my will and my life.
Be my recovery guide. Be my recovery guide.
Show me how to reach.
Boy, that was wild. All right. Thanks, everybody. That was pretty awesome.
Thanks.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah,
thanks,
that was
Berta.
That was short notice on Berta, Debbie. That was on me. She just
it
knew
was.
Last week. Yeah. No, we're good.
Yep. Well, Wayne, if you make it down to World, I hope to see you and I'll give you a hug. Okay?
Okay, sounds good.
Sounds good.
You're off the hook, Berta.
I told you it wasn't me, it was him. I take personal responsibility for that which I'm guilty of. But
I thought I'd share that, you know.
I so appreciate you saying that. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. All right.
I'll let you know. I canceled my piano lesson for this. So
awesome. I appreciate
yeah.
it.
It was worth it.
Lessons.
I probably won't be here next month because that'll be the night we're stuffing bags at the for the convention.